Ever so, what? One, first of all, I've heard great things about Benozzi. I think this is the third summer that I'm teaching here, although this is the first summer that I'm like a regular. I have to thank Tamar for putting this program together. From what I've heard, many of the women say that this is the most serious women's Talmud Torah program that is available, which is something that's unbelievable, and it's to your credit for like being the brains behind, everyone has brains, but like being the driving force behind this program. So I think it's something that's a tremendous service to Klal Yisrael. Just to introduce myself, my name is Ezra Schwartz. I'm a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, where I teach in the Smicha program, but for the past couple of years, I've been involved in teaching Torah to women. I taught in Stern for a few years, and now I teach in GPAT. I teach a halacha shiur to Shana Gimel students in GPAT. Everyone is encouraged to come to GPAT. GPAT rocks. It's a really good program. And the reason why I'm involved in teaching Torah to women is because my feeling is that Klal Yisrael needs this. At this point in time, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Torah going on in the world. Women also learn, but in terms of learning the Hasmada and struggling through texts, that's something that there are not enough programs for women to be involved in. And Klal Yisrael needs knowledgeable women who represent everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels women should represent, who know Torah, who love Torah, who are involved in it. So the challenge for you is that Klal Yisrael needs you. That's really why we're here for this summer. So let's go and get into it quickly. We're learning the Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Now, Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro are very broad. There's Mitzvos Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. First of all, a few important svarim. There's a Sefer Ahavas Chesed by the Chofetz Chaim. My understanding is that there will be one in this room. The svarim in this room are completely random. I don't know what they have, what they don't have, but we should get a Sefer Ahavas Chesed. It's kedai, it's worthwhile for each of you to try to have a Sefer Ahavas Chesed. It's also an English translation. The Chofetz Chaim writes in the beginning that people think that doing chesed is just a nice thing to do. They don't realize that there are rules and regulations and halachos about how to do it. The reason also why he wrote the sefer is because he noticed, and let's like maybe not say this with such a loud voice, Jews are not always as nice as we're not going to say that in such a loud voice, but lamaisa, it's true. Right? Lamaisa, people don't fulfill these mitzvahs of chesed as they should. And one of the things that we'll be doing this summer is talking about the mitzvahs of chesed. Now, the mitzvahs of chesed come in a number of different categories. There is what we call chesed that you fulfill with your money. Tzedakah is a form of chesed, right? There's a mitzvah to lend money to people who are in need. That's different than charity, different than tzedakah. Tzedakah is I give you money, right? Lending money is also a form of chesed. There's a form of chesed with money in terms of paying my workers on time. Okay, you violate Isurin d'Oraisa if you hire a babysitter or whatever the employee is. If you have a therapist and you don't pay that therapist on time, you receive an invoice. That's an Isur d'Oraisa if you don't pay it on time. That's really important. The chesed with your money is super important, but we're not talking about that. What we're going to be talking about this summer are the mitzvos of chesed that are called gemilas chesed shebegufo. In the Chofetz Chaim Sefer Ahavas Chesed, he begins by talking about chesed with money. Then he gives all of the mussar. Chofetz Chaim is very from. He gives lots of mussar about why doing chesed is important. Then in Chelek Gimel of the Sefer, he talks about chesed in terms of actions that we do. Gemilas chesed shebegufo. Examples of that are, again, Bikur Cholim, yes. What else? We'll talk about that. Hachnasas Archim, Hachnasas Kala, Kivuras HaMeis. Right? There are lots of mitzvahs of chesed that we do with our bodies. By the way, if you look in the Rambam that I give you the back, the bottom of page 2, Mammon gives a whole bunch of mitzvos that I hope we'll be discussing as the Zman continues. Bikur Cholin, Nichum Aveilim. Right? You go to be Menachem Avo. By the way, there are YouTube videos about stupid things that people say at Nichum Aveilim. They're really stupid and they really happen. And you got to learn the halachos of how to properly be Menachem Avel. Right? There are mitzvahs of doing a levaya, hachnasas kala, mitzvahs of hachnasas orchim, etc. These are all mitzvahs. These are the things that I hope we're going to be studying this summer. If we have time, I want to move on to some of the Gemilas Chesed Shebe Mamono, but mostly what we'll be doing is Gemilas Chesed Shebe Gufo. Other books to get. My friend Rabbi Daniel Feldman is a Rosh Hashiva in YU. He has two books about Chesed. One is called Divine Footsteps, Chesed and the Jewish Soul. I believe this one is still in print. There's another one called The Right and the Good, which is no longer in print. If you could get your hands on these books, it is very worthwhile. They are really good svarim. Rabbi Daniel Feldman, Divine Footsteps, that's the one they have over here. He also has svarim about Lashon Hara. It's also an important topic which connects to what we're learning. Other topics that connect to what we're learning, there's an Isser to hate Jews, right? That all connects to what we're doing. So let's get into it. Okay, first source, right? Famous Mishnah Avos. Shimon HaTzadeh is Mishiyari Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And the history basically is that in the times of Ezra, when Klal Yisrael came up, for Bayis Sheni, they have this thing called the Anshei Knesset HaGedola that begins with like 120 people. The Knesset in Israel is modeled after the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. That's called Knesset. And it basically whittled down until you ended up with a Sanhedrin of 70. You start with 120, end up with 70 over time. That's how the Sanhedrin happened. So Shimon HaTzadik is one of the remnants of Anshei Knesset HaGedola. He said, Shlosh Hadvarim Ha'om Omed, three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Okay, blasphemous question. Which is the most important?
Torah.
What?
Torah.
Torah, okay. Torah is important, right?
Torah.
Without Torah, you don't have anything, right? Torah is really important. Reb Sadia Gaon writes, Ein Moseinu Uma Ela B'Torasa, right? That what makes Jews is through Torah. So Torah is really important. Avoda, davening, bringing karbanos, also kind of important, no? If you don't dive into the Ribono Shel Olam, you don't have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what's your life about? Gemilas Chasadim, usually we assume, is the lonely stepchild of the three, no? The only thing is, when was the Torah given?
Right.
When?
Right.
2448, right. That's when Torah is given. I apologize. My hearing is bad, so I could ask you to just speak up a teeny bit. Hearing loss is a thing. Now, so Torah is given in 2448. That means that there are 2,448 years on this planet that there's no Torah. When did Avodah start? Yeah, question is good. Questions are good. So Torah, 2448. Avodah starts with the Mishkan, let's say. No? That's when we begin to serve the Ribono Shel Olam in the formal way? So what happened before that? Before 2448, before the Mishkan, the thing that existed is Gemilas Chasadim. So that means if I want to speak about the Shlosh HaDvarim that Ha'olam Omed, so the most important one of those three in the sense of keeping the world going is Chesed. Pasuk writes, Olam Chesed Yibane. Right? Of these three, Chesed is the most important. The Chafetz Chaim we mentioned is very from in the Psicha, in the introduction to the Abbas Chesed, he quotes from the Avos Dereb Nosson. The Avos Dereb Nosson writes, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, it's relevant, 3 weeks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Don't think that you have no way to connect to me anymore. You have chesed. That's what Ribono Shel Olam said. Hamachas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai leaves Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yeshua is following him. They see the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Rabbi Yeshua says, Nebuch, this place is destroyed. This is where we got kapara. Amro b'ni al yer alocha. Yesh lanu kapara akashi kamosa eze ze gemilas chasodim. So gemilas chasodim is mechaper as much as the Beis HaMikdash. That means the Beis HaMikdash, which is the makom of avoda, even after we don't have avoda anymore, we can have a kapara through chesed. The Alter Rebbe writes at the beginning of Tanya, by the way, that chesed is mechaper all averus. Okay, it's important. It's good, right? Do chesed. So chesed is really important. Torah, avodah, gemilas chasodim. We're arguing that chesed is the most important. I also have another proof that chesed is the most important. The next section that we have deals with the source of chesed, right? And I give you a few different sources. There's a Gemara in Sota, Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Bava Metzi, and the Rambam, four basic sources. The Gemara in Sota, I didn't give you one line, but you can kind of read into the Gemara this next idea. Reb Chanina says, God is a fire. How can you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rather, what it means is that you should follow the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu mal b'sharumim? The Ribbono Shel Olam clothes the naked. Dichsib, Bayas Hashem Elokim la'odom le'ishto kosno sar v'yal b'yishem. What parasha is that in? Bereishis. That's right at the beginning of Chumash. There is a mitzvah of chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives clothing to Adam and Chava. Hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does biker cholim. The end of this Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavar mason dechsib vayikbar oso bagai. What parasha is that in? HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayikbar oso bagai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried him. Who's the him? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's in the parasha of Zos HaBracha. Right? So Chumash begins with chesed. Chumash ends with chesed. Right? The Torah is all about chesed. The Chafetz Chaim in the Psicha to Sefer Avas Chesed. He goes through every parasha in Chumash and he shows you how there is chesed in every single parasha in the Torah. Right? Every parasha. Chesed is super important. That's why we're learning chesed. Okay, so the first source about doing chesed is from this Gemara in Sota, which says that why do we do chesed? Because Hashem did it, to use two Latin words. Imitatio Dei, right? That's it. You know, anyone who's read Rav Soloveitchik stuff, this is like the Aleph Beis of the Rav. No, Imitatio Dei, right? Imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like God is Rachum, Chanun, Kerech Hapayim, etc., we also have to be that. Just like God is Goymel Chasodim, we are commanded to imitate the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be Gomel Chesed like HaKadosh Baruch. Second source for Gemilas Chesed is where? Gemara in Shabbos. What do I see from that Gemara in Shabbos? Why am I Gomel Chesed? So, ani vahu, zekeli va'anvehu. Where is that pasuk, by the way? Zekeli va'anvehu? Oz yashir. Right? You're getting all the answers right. Right? So, what? So, oz yashir, zekeli va'anvehu. Right? We're supposed to, ani vahu, we read that pasuk va'anvehu, not in the sense of Targum Unkles, that I will build the Beis HaMikdash, not in the earlier sense of the Gemara, va'anvehu, as doing hiddur mitzvah, noi. But in the sense of Gemilas Chesed. Now the Maharsha, who was the Maharsha? When and where did he live? Maharsha is Reb Shmuel Edels. I believe he lived in Krakow, 17th century. Why is he called Edels? His stepmother. His, yes, Edel is a woman. Actually, my great grandmother was named Edel. Right? It's a woman's name. Right? Many Gedolim took on, it's a matronym, no? Matronymic. They take on names based on their mother, mother-in-law in this case, whatever it is. So that is the Maharsha. The Maharsha comments that the Gemara has two lines. One line about Hidur Mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah means that when I do mitzvahs, I should do it in a beautiful, nice way. And the next line is about Va'anvehu anivahu, meaning that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is compassionate, we should also be compassionate. What does that mean? What's the connection between these two things? So you could say there is none, then they wouldn't have a share to give. What's the connection? Zakna Maharsha, the connection is that when you do chesed, you should do chesed with hiddur mitzvah also. People think the hiddur mitzvah only means that I beautify. Someone thought of this? Okay, please tell me your name. Again? Critton? Nice to meet you. Okay. If I mispronounce. What? So there is hiddur mitzvah by the mitzvah of chesed. The mitzvah of chesed can be done in a backhanded sort of nebuch way. Okay, I got to do it. Or I could do chesed. Like, if you don't know 10 new Yiddish words by the end of our shiurim, I have failed. You have to do it in a way that's iber far besert und farputzt. Okay, you got that? Iber far besert means you do it nicer, and farputzt means you do it embellished. Right? You could do chesed in a more beautiful way. By Tekiyas Shofar, we say, right, you have this in the piyut on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Shapiru ma'aseichem uverisau tufar. Shapiru is a lashon of same letters as shofar. Shapiru ma'aseichem means that make your ma'asim, make your actions nice. Do it in a beautiful way. Like, try to enhance your mitzvah of chesed. Yet sometimes you can get points, but you want to do things just like I want. Right? Hiddur mitzvah. I don't know. Pick your mitzvah. You try to do it in as beautiful a way as you can. No? That's hiddur mitzvah. Right? Neris Chanukah, you have a beautiful menorah, right, etc. Assuming that's considered hiddur mitzvah. Right? We have lots of things of hiddur mitzvah, but there's hiddur mitzvah and chesed also, the Maharsha says. And that's what emerges from this next source. Source number three. Why do I do chesed? The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Tana Rav Yosef, v'hodato lahem, ze beis chayehem. Es haderech, zugamilos chasodim, yechubas, bikarcholem, etc., kavura, etc. Okay, so I do chesed because the Torah says, v'hodato lahem es haderech yechubah. And that means du chesed, right? Zugamilos chasodim. First of all, what's that pasuk about? V'hodato lahem es haderech yechubah? Yisrael sung Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to wear down. You're sitting as a dayan all day. It's like the people are on top of you, right? So Yisrael tells Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You have to appoint judges to help you. And part of Yisrael's instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu is v'hodato lahem es haderech yechubah, which the Gemara Bava Metzia understands to mean, give me all this chesed. Right? Es haderech yechubah means gemilas chesed. Now, first of all, how did I get that? How do the words es haderech yechubah mean gemilas chesed? V'halach de bidracha. In other words, that there is derech of Hashem. Okay. So that connects to what we've been saying until now. Right? To say it differently, Avram Avinu in Parshas Vayera is chosen as the father of the Jewish people. Derech Hashem la'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. Derech Hashem means la'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. Das heis derech Hashem. Right? What God wants is that we do justice, charity, kindness. That's derech Hashem. So v'hodat lahem es haderech yelchuba. So it could be that derech means that Yisrael is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, appoint judges who know this derech Hashem, judges who know all of the proper ways, who embody the morals of Avraham Avinu. That could be derech Yehovah, the derech, as haderech, right? The derech is the derech of Avraham Avinu. That could be. That could be Reb Shamshon Rafal Hirsch in his Perish Al HaTorah. So Rabbina Hirsch writes that he thinks Derech Yochobo means a person's chosen path in life, which for most people involves their professions, right? You go to work, you do whatever it is that you do to earn money. But Yisro is saying that you have to choose people as a Derech Yochobo, people who know that the Derech that they should take, the job that they have, the profession that they have, should be also Derech Hashem. That you shouldn't just choose a, I hope, like, I don't know how many of you have very chosen professions or not, but if you have an opportunity to choose a profession that you can serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you could do Chesed, wow, right? That's unbelievable, right? That's Derech Yochobo, that's the way Rav Hirsch understands this. So what do all these first three sources have in common? Why do I do Chesed? You said it before. It's the path of Hashem, meaning it's what Hashem wants from us, but say more. It's not just what Hashem wants from us. It's that it's what he does, and we should do what Hashem does, because when I do chesed, I become a godly individual, right? I improve myself. I become a better person when I do chesed. Chesed is about the doer, right? That is one approach. Next source for doing chesed, though, is, right, the way I usually say to my students is that Judaism is a beautiful religion, then the Rambam was born. Right? The Rambam mamash causes all the problems, right? Because I have three Gemaras, and they all say I'm doing chesed in order to improve myself. And what does the Rambam tell me? How can I do chesed?
Help the other?
Help someone else. Right? That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah to do bikur cholam, nichum aveilam, etc. And even though these are all mitzvahs to Rabbanan, they're included in v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha. Whatever you want someone to do to you, you should do to someone else. And that's what the Rambam writes. Meaning that chesed is about helping someone meet his or her needs. Chesed is about the other person. In philosophy, there are two schools of thought. Ethics, morals can be utilitarian or they can be deontological. Right? Philosophy majors. You want to explain this to anyone else? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Okay, I'm asking. Is deontological versus utilitarian? Right, deontological is I do it for myself. Kant is famous for being, I know everything from Wikipedia. Kant is famous for saying that the reason why you should be good is because the law says you should be good. It's not to help somebody else. There are laws, you keep the laws. The Greek philosopher Euthyphro had the famous Chakira. What makes things good? Are things good because the god said so, or the gods said so, or are things good because it benefits society, helps other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a suffix. Ibaidlo of Shita, Tegu. Right? That's Euthyphro. Now, this is a machlokas between the sources. Because we could argue that the first three sources say, I do chesed to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, meaning it improves the doer, as opposed to the fourth source, which is that I'm doing chesed to help you. Now, let's just be careful. We're talking about Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Right? One could argue, if I'm doing chesed to make myself better, so it's not really Mitzvos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is it? Right? It's a strong kasha. But here's the other journal secret in Judaism.
there is no such thing as a mitzvah that is entirely bein adam l'chaveiro. I do stuff because the Eibishter ratzu uns gesagt. Right? That's why I do stuff. Because the God, the Ribbono Shel'olam, told us. So even mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, bepashtus, are done because God told us. Again, one tzad in Yuthifero. But every mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro is also bein adam l'makom. However, we got three sources in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara in Sota says, why did I do chesed? According to Gemara in Sota? Because I imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara in Shabbos, I do chesed because I imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those psukim, by the way, that I'm doing chesed because I'm imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these psukim are Hashem did it. These are things, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu begins, right? The first source in the Gemara in Sota. Mai dechsev achrei Hashem alokeichem telechu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says that. Follow God. That means Moshe is telling us to do chesed. The next source that I have is Zekeli van Vehu. Zekeli van Vehu is that Klal Yisrael, when we're going through the Yam Suf, it's Keila, we point up and we say, Zekeli van Vehu, right? That I'm going to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means it's not Moshe told us, but we're saying we want to do it. The third source of doing chesed comes from Vodat Olahem HaSadarach Yelchu Ba, that comes from Yisrael. Did Yisrael know Torah? Well, this is Machlokes in Gemara and Tzvachim, whether Yisrael came before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, right, whether the Parshiyos in the Chumash are in order, out of order. But do you think Yisrael is speaking from a perspective of biblical law? Or is Yisrael just speaking from an ethical perspective? Pashtus, Yisro is telling Moshe, and he says, dear son-in-law, you're running yourself ragged. Appoint other judges to be with you. And do chesed, meaning it's logical. So the three sources that I have in the Gemara for chesed, right? One is a statement of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another is something that Klai Yisro said themselves. The third is a statement of Yisro. Yisro's statement sounds most like chesed being intuitive. That's what it sounds like in terms of statement of Yisro. So here's the question, right? Is chesed to make myself better? Is chesed to help other people? Rambam versus the rest of Judaism. No? Basically. Okay. What are the nafkaminas? Right? When you have a question of the source, so nafkamina is one of the halachic implications of each possibility. Again? You sure? I'm sorry, my hearing was.
Say, if I
have
the Kodman, apply the Hafreyecha Kamocha, but why would it apply
to the Hafreyecha Kamocha? Bayecha Kodman applies to the Hafreyecha Kamocha, right? That's what you just said?
Yeah.
Right, so that's a very important point. In other words, the Hafreyecha Kamocha, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, Zeklau Gadol Batayra. Right? Rabbi Akiva says, Zeklau Gadol in the sense of this principle incorporates many other principles. That's Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah. It's like that Rambam. He has like seven or eight things that fall under V'ahavta Rayecha Kamocha. So if it's based on V'ahavta Rayecha Kamocha, so Rabbi Akiva himself said that if I'm walking through the desert and I have one jar of water, right, either I take it or I give it to somebody else. So Rabbi Akiva and Ben Keturah have a machlokas in the Gemara Bava Metzia. What do? So I drink it myself. Why? Chayecha Kodman. Right? That's what you were saying. So if it's Vahavrecha Kamocha, so I come first, which, by the way, leads to the Ramban, which I give you on the source sheet, saying that Vahavrecha Kamocha, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For some reason, Sepharia only has the Ramban in English, not in Hebrew. Sepharia is also completely random. It's not just the library over here. I have no idea what they have in both Hebrew and English, what's only in English. So the Ramban says, this is an expression by way of overstatement, meaning
The Ramban says this in Hebrew, it's derech haflaga. It's an exaggeration. V'ahavta re'acha kamocha cannot mean that you mamish love your friend like you like yourself, because it's not possible, the Ramban says. The human heart is not able to accept the command to love someone's neighbor as oneself. Rabbi Akiva already came and taught, your light takes precedence. So if it's based on v'ahavta re'acha kamocha, so kamocha cannot mean exactly like me. Kamocha means, and the Ramban tries to explain this later on, that I should want good things for my friend, just like I want good things for myself. But it's not exactly the same, you and me, right? We're not the same. Because, let's be honest, I like all of you. I like myself much more. Right? Not even a shayla. Right? The Ramban says is derech haflaga. It can't mean that it's really equal. However, according to the approaches of, and I think this is what you're saying, the squire, right? According to the approaches that I do chesed because Hashem said so, so presumably I have to do as much for you as I would do for me, right? Or to say it in another way, maybe we'll elaborate on this a little bit later, but v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is an emotion that carries over into action. If you want to learn from imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God clothed the naked. Adam and Chava and Harsina, your naked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them clothing. God buries Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, God does the first Hachnasas Kala, right? He braids Chava's hair, as it were, and he, right? That's Hachnasas Kala, right? All of the mitzvahs of Chesed are done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the mitzvah, so to speak, is to do actions, not an emotion that overflows into action. Right? If chesed comes from v'ahavta re'acha kamocha, the way the Rambam says it, so the idea is that the emotion is supposed to overflow and generate specific actions, rather than saying that the specific actions themselves are mandated. Yes, ma'am. I forgot your name. Please say it.
Okay, Adira.
Adira, yes.
I have a question about what you're saying for about philosophical stuff. And you're saying how the mitzvot are, even the Gadol HaAvira, like, how can you ever do something truly for your friend? People forget things.
Correct. Like, I mean, so, I think there's a difference between like what motivates me and what I'm actually doing. I'm not supposed to serve the Baruch Hashem. I put on tefillin in the morning. I don't do it because I get reward. I do it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said so. Mitzvah of Chesed also, is it completely altruistic? No, it might not be. I know I get reward. It's not complete altruism, if that's what you're getting at. So let's just go back. Oh, Tamar.
So I asked Rabbi Gelli at my school, and he said, I'll be a rush up now. So,
yeah.
Like, can't I just approach it as if everything is purely selfish? And say, no, don't think of it that way.
I shouldn't think of it that way because that would be making myself into a Rasha, and I'm supposed to make myself. I mean, there's a lot to say about that statement of Chaza, Alti Rasha Beine Atzmacha. If you read the first parak of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is very bothered by that Gemara. He says, he's very bothered by that statement. Much longer, the Kasha is a good Kasha. Is there such a thing as doing something only for another person? So chesed shal emes, maybe I bury somebody's chesed shal emes, But am I doing it only for them, or am I doing it also because I get reward? Am I doing it also because this is what we do? People show up at Levayas. Right. I mean, there are ways of like circles is a very unproductive point that mitzvahs of chesed are mitzvahs. Mitzvah means we're commanded. We're commanded because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. By the way, Bar Tanura, first Mishnah in Avos, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, Misarli Hoshua, Meseches Avos is all about ethics. Why do you need to say that it comes through the line of Mesorah? So the answer is that if I'm working in the world of pure ethics, you can end up in very perverse places, right? There's a philosopher in Princeton, Peter Singer. Peter Singer has a notion that it's very bad to be speciesist, which means just like you shouldn't be racist, okay? We all agree you shouldn't be racist. So far, so good. Everyone, okay? Right? Some people are not shaking their heads, but I'm assuming that doesn't mean that you disagree, right? We should not be racist. Gotcha. So Peter Singer says that you shouldn't be speciesist, which means why should you prefer the human species over some other species? So if there's a choice between grandma dying and my dog dying, and I have limited resources, right? So how do I look at that question? I could look at that question saying, oh, humans are by definition more valuable than animals. Or I could say, one second, who brings more joy and more good to the planet? Grandma, who's there in bed, right? Or huggable Portuguese little dog, so cute, right? Who brings more joy to the world, right? Now, again, if you are using ethics just in the sense of what I think, you could end up in a very perverse place, right? So the Bar Tanura writes in the first Mishnah in Avos that you need Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. But what that also means, by the way, is that ethics, morals, chesed, bein adam l'chaveros, are, because there's a line from Rabboni Shlom to us, right? It's not, right? Moshe, Yehoshua, Zakenim, etc. Right? So that's the same idea. It's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's Bein Adam L'Malkum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me what to do. If not for the command of the Rabboni Shlom, I could end up in a very messed up place. Fair? Okay, so nafkamina is between whether it is whether chesed is because I want to help you or whether chesed is because I become a better person. So one suggestion is that if it's v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha, it cannot be mamish the same as you. However, just to deflect that point, if you understand v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha as emotions that lead to specific actions, so then the kamocha does not have to be kamocha mamish. Right? V'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha might mean, and the Rambam, Reb Osher Weiss, has an essay in his Sefer on Parshas Kedoshim, that v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha for the Ramban is derech haflaga. It's an exaggeration. It can't mamish be the same me and you, because he's bothered by this question of chayecha kolmin, Reb Akiva, stir in Reb Akivas. But the Rambam says v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha is basically emotions that carry over into actions, meaning v'ahavta l'rayacha kamocha is be menachem aveilim, do bikur cholim. That's what it means. Do these things. If that's the case, so it doesn't have to be that I feel the same about you that I feel about me. Of course I don't. But I'm going to be menachem avil because I know that when I'm sitting shiva, I want you to come. Right? So it doesn't have, you don't have that same kasha of I chayecha kolmin. That kasha isn't a powerful kasha if it's really actions. Looks like you have a comment. Not yet. We'll say it like that. Okay, great. So other nafkaminas between whether it is in the Matan HaKadosh Baruch Hu or whether it is based on helping you. First of all, I just want to state that the smack, who was the smack? When and where did he live? So the smack is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for the medieval Jew. That's why Chaim Soloveitchik says it. If you look at the Sefer, it's broken up into 7 days of the week. You're supposed to chazer 1/7 every day. That way you know all the mitzvahs. This is standard. This book is like printed all the time in the Tekufa of Rishonah and different commentaries on the smack. This is pretty standard. The smack, yes. What? Sefer Mitzvahs Katan. Right, so the smack writes that the mitzvahs are both, the mitzvahs that I'm doing are both to improve myself, so to speak, and meaning to imitate Hashem, and also because I'm helping you. That's point one that emerges from a number of Rishonim, that it's not like a complete dichotomy. But there is another line in the smack which I like, which is that the smack writes, Matzino Shakadosh Baruch Hu Kavar Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Rebbeinu Shalom did this, and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yesh Mochichem Mivahalachta B'Tzurachav, Afilu Zakin Be'einu Lofi Kodo. If the idea is I'm imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore, Zakin Be'einu Lofi Kodo has to do these mitzvahs. Let's say I'm more chashuv than you. Right? Theoretically. Right? Let's say person A is more chashuv than person B. Do you still have to do chesed to that person? Do you have to? Right? One can argue, maybe it's like demeaning to me. Right? In Hashavas Aveda, this comes up. For me to go and return your object, right? I've been a hecher mensch. I'm like an elevated person. For me to degrade myself and return the object to you, right? You lost one shoe. I'm going to go knock on your door, one little stinking shoe. I wear a frock. I got a up hat. For me to go, God, that's insulting. No, zokin ben ofi kvodo. If you're learning the mitzvahs are based on imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so v'halachta b'drachav, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is gadol itzokatan. Right? So if nichum aveilim is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menachem Yitzhak after Sarah dies. If Bikur Cholam is because of Kodesh Baruch Hu goes to Avram Avinu, right, after the Mila, whatever it is, that means even Gadol Itzokatan. If I'm learning from Vahavta Re'acha Kamolcha, so Vahavta Re'acha Kamolcha means do unto others as you would want unto yourself, but there might be a certain inequity because maybe I would not do this to you, right? Because I'm too chashuv for this. If it's based on v'halachta b'drachav, so of course you have to do it, even though you're more chashuv, as opposed to if it's based on v'havtrei echa kamocha, someone can make a cogent argument that it doesn't apply if person X is more chashuv than person Y. Yes, now you have a question. What is your name, though?
Nicole.
Why? Probably. I'm supposed to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me B'Tzelem Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me in his image, meaning Hashem wants me to be like Hashem. Maybe Soloveitchik made a huge deal about this. Right? Hashem wants humans to be creative because Hashem is creative, right? We're supposed to do everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Is there a reason why Hashem did it? Kilo yeah. We don't understand why Hashem did it. I mean, again, on one level we don't. On the other level, you know, the Ramchal in the Sefer Derech Hashem, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate good. And Teva HaTov L'Hetev. If you're good, you want to give good to others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humans in a way that Hashem wanted us to be able to do those things that Hashem did. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Bechira also. Because if we wouldn't have Bechira, we wouldn't be able to get ultimate reward. Right? This is the fundamental question why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Next nafkamina. Let's say I give tzedakah. I grew up in Lawrence, okay? This is the introduction. Sunday mornings, there were, I don't know, probably 24 people who had knocked on my parents' door asking for money. Now, I probably shouldn't be such a cynic, but did all those 24 people really need it? I shouldn't be such a cynic, but I am. Hey, probably not. Do you get a mitzvah if you give tzedakah to someone who is not deserving? Do you get a mitzvah if you give tzedakah to somebody who, hey, kind of a wealthy person? Hey, it just happens. His parnasa, you know, I sell widgets and he walks around with his hand out and gets donations. Is that a mitzvah tzedakah?
So, if you know him.
If what?
If you know him.
Depends if you know him or not. Okay, yes. But we'll explain that in a minute. Yeah?
I think also that there's not familiar, but if the person has his if the basis for chesed is for other people, then there is no, then you didn't get it, but for you, right? You did something nice, you automatically are making yourself a better person, even if you don't know. But if it's for the other person,
Nahon, right? Yeah, in other words, so the nafgamina, or a possible nafgamina between the two perspectives, is if I give tzedakah to somebody who's undeserving. If it's based on meeting the person's need, this person doesn't have a need. That guy's a millionaire. I think what you're saying is like a practical issue. You're saying, practically speaking, no one's going to go around with their to collect donations if they're not really needy on some level. Again, like, listen, the rule that we know in life, and Gemara says this based on Pesukim, is that, oh, the Pesukim can call Halas, oh, hef kesef, lo yisbak kesef. No matter how much money I have, I want more. So they asked the Schnorrer who lived in Rothschild's town. They say, you know, if you would have Rothschild's money, what would you do? So he said, oh, I'd have a carriage driving me from place to place so I could schnorr money in the different homes. People, that's the parnasa. I don't know. But the point is, the Gemara in Bava Kamma says, and we'll get back to Ms. Squire's point in a second, Darash Rav Amayda Siv Yom Mokshalom Lefanecha Beis Abcha Asei Bohem Amei Yirmiyol Lefanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Afil B'Shar She'Osen Tzedaka Hechshilon B'Vnei Odom She'Einam Mehugonim Kedei Shelo Yikavu Aleihem Sachar. Meaning, Gemara in Bava Kamma says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he should give people who are undeserving, he should give those people to come to your door so that you don't get reward for giving stuff up. You don't get points, you don't get your brownie points, whatever it is, if you give stuff up to someone who's undeserving. However, then the Mukhi Yosef says that this is only true if you know that the person is undeserving. But I know that this charity is doesn't need the money. But if you don't know, so then I get reward. The idea is that presumably what Anna is saying is correct. That if chesed is because I'm helping you, so then ultimately I'm not helping you. I shouldn't get points. But if I don't know that you're undeserving, so I should get points just because I'm imitating a Kaddish Baruch Hu and I become a better person from that. But, and this point my friend Reb Daniel Feldman has in his Sefer, let's say I do something because I'm pressured to do it. So is that considered imitatio Dei? Is that considered v'halachta b'drocha? Do I become a better person if I give tzedakah not because I want to, but because peer pressure, because some sort of coercion? Right? One could argue.
Wasn't one of your main differences that
halachta b'drocha
didn't attach to emotion?
Well, v'halachta b'drocha means I'm imitating Hashem. It's not attached to emotion in the sense of, it's not that like, I feel, halachta b'drocha is I do stuff because Hashem said so, and I do stuff to become like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I become like HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I become a person who's Rachum and Chanan, etc. But if I'm doing it out of coercion, I'm not becoming Rachum and Chanan.
You could ask that question for any mitzvah, but only
I think Tamara was like talking in those terms a few minutes ago. But I'm not coerced to do any mitzvah. Right? I make a decision, I want to daven. I'm not coerced. Right? But I'm talking about a case when you're mamish coerced. If the idea of chesed is to make me a better person, so I'm not a better person if I, what's it called? I'm not a better person if I'm forced to do it. Or let's say the other direction. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah speaks about, I'm walking down the street, I have a hole in my pocket, money falls out, and then the poor person picks it up. So I get some points for that, no?
No.
Yes.
You?
Yes, you do.
Did I answer that with a question? I thought you were...
Yeah. I get points. Yes, you do. I said no, but I get points because an ani picks up the money, and I am filling a need. I ended up mimela. It just happened. But I'm fulfilling a need. I don't have any kavana for that. But it happens. Right? So these things go in two opposite directions. If tzedakah, chesed, whatever the word you want to use, if it's based on fulfilling a need, so then that could happen without intention. If it's based on fulfilling a need, so if the person is not needy, one could argue you don't get points. But if it's based on becoming more like God, developing my ethical sense, so then I don't become more ethical if I have a hole in my pocket. A hole in my pocket doesn't make me ethical. Now, what would emerge is like this wild idea. If you coerce me to give tzedakah, and I end up giving tzedakah to an unworthy institution, right. By the way, my father used to direct the federations. He was the executive vice president of the Council of Jewish Federations, which is now called the Jewish Federations of North America. So there was a parallel organization to CJF, the Council of Jewish Federations, a non-Jewish charity. The largest non-Jewish charity in the United States at that point was the United Way. And the United Way at that point was a whole Ponzi scheme that you can look him up. Bill Aramone was the executive. He got super wealthy. And this, the whole tzedakah was a fraud. If someone coerces you to give money to the United Way in the mid-80s, I'm not counting the United Way now. As far as now, it's a wonderful organization. Now, in the mid-80s, the whole thing was a sham. You probably don't get anything. Because chesed is either because I'm becoming a more ethical person. If I'm coerced, I don't become more ethical. Or it's because I meet a need. Right? So one can make a very interesting case that you don't get any points at all. Yes, ma'am.
With regards to like if you fulfill a need for a non-Jewish people, you're like imitating God, but then you're fulfilling people not the so is that...
Okay, so I want to talk about non-Jewish people. We'll get there. Non-Jewish people, non-religious people, we're not equating them, but I want to talk about that in a few minutes. But the basic idea is that chesed really means that I intend to do what's right. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Sefer Asvin Dorais and Klal Chaf Gimel, I give you that source. Tevas chesed muvan d'shayach rak al tzedakah nitenet b'yedi'ah, d'chesed hu rak ma she'ish mitchaseid im re'ehu.
The ilu nafla sela matza anim in ispanispa lo yipol alav to ar chesed klal rak shenase davar tov mi'elov.
Like, that's the point that we're making. That if I have a hole in my pocket, I don't become an ish ha-chesed. It happens that chesed was done. Something good was done because I ended up meeting a need. So the basic notion of chesed, these two dimensions, whether it's to make myself better, to make you better, is very relevant in terms of intention, in terms of someone who's ultimately undeserving, in terms of Zakim Ben Olafi Kvodo. These are the nafkaminas I wanted to develop. Yeah, is that a question? Can I ask you to just speak a little bit louder? No. By the way, it's not that you're not speaking loud. It's that A, my hearing is bad. B, there is air conditioning in the room, something for which I'm very happy. But background noise, if any of you have hearing aids, you know that background noise is like really bad. Yes. Yeah. So if I do it just because I feel I have to do it, this is sort of what Tamara was asking beforehand. One could argue that's not really chesed. I might be meeting a need and fulfilling by haftareicha kamocha, right? Again, I was speaking about a case when you're absolutely coerced. Yeah. But sometimes you could say, I'm doing it just because Hashem said so, right? And I don't really want to do this, right? Let's be honest. There's a lot of mitzvahs that I do that I don't really want to do, right? Okay. And one could argue that's not considered chesed if the idea of chesed is to make me a better person. By the way, paradigmatic chesed is the chesed of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, beginning Parshas Vayera, does hachnasas orchim. Who are those guests that he brings in? No. Angels. Angels who are dressed like Arabs. But you got to remember, we are how many thousands of years before Muhammad? The term Arab in the sense of coming from the Arabian Peninsula. Okay, fine. So yes, that's probably true. But Avram Avinu, the paradigm of Chesed, is giving hachnosas arachim, giving food, etc., to people who don't need it. They're angels. But he didn't know that. Okay. But that's like the Gemara in Bava Kamma. If I give staka to someone who doesn't need it. Right? So, right? Avram Avinu is the paradigm and the paragon of chesed because he is doing it in a way that is just imitating a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not fulfilling a need. Yes, ma'am. Correct. It's the intention. And I see from Avram Avinu that the intention is so important that this man is, like, 3 days after his bris milah, he's in intense pain. He is waiting at the door of his tent. Let's see, maybe people are going to come. I really want to do chesed. It's all the intention. That's what I'm learning from Avram Avinu. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, By the way, there's another notion of chesed that we're not really discussing, which is that chesed might be an instinct that we have. The notion of chesed as an instinct is something, again, there are statements in Chazal that this is a Jewish notion of chesed, maybe non-Jews don't have this. I really don't want to go there, whether it's I don't want to go there, but it is something to note that there's a possibility within chesed of that. Okay, just to talk about v'haftareicha kamocha very quickly. So the Rambam, as we noted, says that all these mitzvahs come from v'haftareicha kamocha. And yes, Hashem, the next couple of shiurim will talk about that Rambam, each mitzvah that he outlines. So the mitzvah v'haftareicha kamocha, the Rambam writes in Parakva, we spoke about the Rambam versus the Ramban. But the Rambam, it might be an emotion that carries over into actions. The Ramban, the same after Rechokamocha, is really about the emotion, and therefore the Ramban says it's not really possible to fulfill it completely. The Rambam writes in Parak Vav of Deos that there's a mitzvah to love every Jew like yourself. Shenema b'hafter yachakamocha. Lefikach sarech l'saper b'shevacho v'lochus amamonen kasher hu chasam amanatmo. But the Rambam is saying that I have to talk nicely about another person because of b'hafter yachakamocha. In other words, even though the Rambam is the one who says that b'hafter yachakamocha is about doing actions, but it's also about you have to speak nicely about the person. You have to desire that the person has, what's it called, the person has his own money, her own money, whatever comes to them, they shouldn't be able to maintain. If you're miskabe b'kol chavero, eino chelek olam haba, you shouldn't make yourself feel good based on bad stuff that happens to others. Okay, that's the Rambam. Hagos Maimini comments over here. The Abahafra Yachakamocha applies only to Erlecha Yidden. Right? It has to be only Reacha Betoro B'mitzvahs, Abba Adam Rasha, She'enu Makabel Tochacha. A Rasha in this context means someone who doesn't accept Musar. There's a mitzvah to hate him. And the Hagos Maimini is saying this on the Rambam. Presumably, the Abahafra Yachakamocha does not apply to people who you try to give mussar to and they don't accept it. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say there's a quote. I don't really see there's nothing I know if you did one. That someone who's cruel to kind is cruel and being cruel to kind. And
some who what?
Someone who's kind to be cruel ends up being cruel to kind.
Yeah, the Gemara says about Shaul. That Shaul, what's it called, wanted to not kill Amalek, and then he himself goes and he kills no ear at Kohanim. Yeah. Right? We come at the end of the first part of Yoma, yeah.
So I just think it's really...
Yeah, in other words, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that, like, you have someone who's not religious, and you try to give them Musar, the person doesn't accept the Musar.
They're not going to accept.
What?
If you don't go up to someone, you don't have to accept it.
So I shouldn't give mussar to them, but let's say I know this person. This person, right, not going to take it. The halacha seems to be that there's no mitzvah b'hafter yachakamocha on this person. That's what the halacha seems to be. And the halacha seems to be also b'hafter l'reyacha. Reyacha is a technical term in halacha that means fellow Jews. Right, ki yigach shor ish as shor re'ehu. Shor re'ehu means that there's a chiyuv to pay money when my ox scores another Jew's ox. Right, the Gemara says that the non-Jews asked the Jews this question, and we tried to kind of hide. We don't lie, because that would be ziyat ha'Torah. We try not to answer the question. It's a big problem, but that's halacha. Re'acha means from Jews. Right? That seems to be what emerges. And that would mean that b'hafter yachakamocha presumably does not apply to others. Yeah. You had a comment before? No. Okay. So now, the problem over here is,
it's almost pushing them away from doing any mitzvah, and you're kind of making it feel separate. So both Jews and person is really pleased in certain families or situations that they can't control, so it's like the opposite of
bringing close to the shed. So, right, that's certainly a problem. What I would say is, on some level, that we're talking about, Rilagos Maimon, he says, it's someone who does not accept Tolkacha, meaning someone who we try to rebuke doesn't accept it. And maybe in these cases, again, I'm not endorsing this opinion, this position, but maybe in certain cases, these types of people, we should try to push away. Maybe. The question that you're asking is a very good question, though. It seems mean. And what I would add, though, the flip side is that in our world, almost no one falls into this category, certainly no Jew. Like, the Binyan Tzion has an tshuva, the Melamed Lacholo has, the Kazanish has, that non-religious Jews in our time, Alein L'moshe Mabosas Ahava, our responsibility is to draw them in with like ropes of love. The assumption is that people, even if they don't accept rebuke that we give them, that's because the Chaim Balozhiner is quoted that in our generation, no one knows how to give Hilchacha properly. There are many ways out of this issue, but in the abstract, in theory, V'ahavta re'acha kamocha should apply only to religious Jews. That's the way it would seem to apply in theory, and yes, it is jarring, right? Agreed. So there are a few things to be said. One is that the Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Vav derives from the pasuk V'ahavta re'acha kamocha v'ra lo misa yotha. Meaning, this is like the most downer of any V'ahavta re'acha kamocha ever heard. You do skila to somebody. So you push him off a cliff, right? And then you throw stones. That's why you do skila. The cliff should not be that high. Because if the cliff is too high, so the body is just going to like fall apart on the way down the mountain. It's going to be all yucky. So v'ra lo misa yotha, right? V'ahavta re'acha kamocha tells you that die in a nice way. Push him off a low cliff. 1 second. This guy's getting skila. Right? If you get skila, you are not such a religious Jew. No? Takes talent to get skila, by the way. You're going to be mechalel Shabbos after there's Edim and Hasra'a. Right? There are witnesses who say, sir, if you write those two letters on Shabbos, you're going to be killed. And you say, I'm doing it nonetheless. Right? Takes talent to be chayav skila. The guy's in Russia. How's there v'ahavta re'acha kamocha? What does that mean? Moreover, the word re'acha, although the Gemara says in the context of when my ox scores your ox, that it only applies to a Jew, but the word re'acha elsewhere in Chumash means non-Jews as well. In when we leave Mitzrayim, so the Torah has a mitzvah. V'yishalu ish me'es re'ehu v'isha me'es shchenta klei chesed klei zahav. That we're supposed to borrow kelim, borrow, right, when we're leaving Egypt. V'yishalu ish me'es re'ehu. Who am I borrowing this stuff from on my way out of Egypt? Jews or Goyim? Goyim, presumably, the Egyptians. By the way, the Vilna Gaon writes that no, what they would do is each Jew would take from the Goy and then they would lend to each other in order to train. That's a wild grow. Pashtus is Ishmeish Me'es Re'ehu, Rebbeinu Bachya has in that pasuk, means that sometimes Re'ehu means even Goyim. Now, when it means Goyim, when it means Jews, I don't know. But the possibility that V'ahavta Re'acha Kamocha applies to Goyim also is a real possibility. The Netziv, Rashi V'Valojin, in his Haskama on the Chafetz Chaim Sefer Avas Chesed, the Netziv writes that mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro apply to goyim. If I have to recheg mokas, the base of mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, right? A plus B equals C, right? And just right, A equals B equals C, whatever it is, right? Math. Right. The point is that it has to apply to goyim also. It has to, because all mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, the Netziv says, applies to goyim. We'll have to talk about certain mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveiro, like in Mamonis, like Hashavas Aveda, you're definitely not supposed to do to Goyim. We'll have to talk about that. But in terms of Kivura, right, the Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah to bury non-Jews, right, with Jews, not in the same cemetery, but just like there's a mitzvah to bury Jews, there's a mitzvah to bury non-Jews as well. Look at the Meiri. Meiri writes, La'olam lo te sinas odam monato milahetiv v'chaveiro b'chom asher shal lahetiv. Right? Just translate that sentence. Right? The bottom of page, I don't remember, 4. Right? The Meiri writes, La'olam lo te sinas odam monato milahetiv v'chaveiro b'chom asher shal lahetiv. Remember, people who are not keeping Torah and mitzvahs, the Torah says, the Hagos Mani quotes, right, Misanecha Hashem Esna, that we hate them. The Meiri writes, don't allow hatred for someone to prevent you from doing good to that person.
learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does good to all the people who do bad, so we should also do good to people who do bad. Chesed of Avraham Avinu, he's davening for a stone. Right? Chesed of Avraham Avinu, who's doing chesed to people who are not part of a tribe, so to speak. The Alter Rebbe says this most clearly in Tanya and Perek Lamed Beis. Any Lubavitcher knows. This is like the most famous Perek in Tanya. This is it, chapter 32 in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe speaks about how, although there is sometimes a mitzvah to hate, but that doesn't take away the mitzvah to love. Right? One of the things that makes humans special in the whole discussion about artificial intelligence. So one of the questions that comes up is, how do you define humanity? So some understand that what makes humans special is that we can hold conflicting ideas at the same point. I could hate you and I could love you at the same point. Right? Psychologists are very into this, right? Part of me is bad. It's not that I am bad. Part of me. I love part of you. I hate part of you. That's what the Alter Rebbe speaks about in Tanya, that each person has a nishmas elokim ma'al and a nefesh habahamas. We have certain drives, instincts that come from klipos, that come from bad places, as it were. And we also have a nishmas elokim ma'al, which is directly a chelak elokim ma'al mamish. It's like a chelak of the Ribbono Shel Olam that's inside each of us. That's aleph beis of Tanya. And therefore, at the same time that I hate you, I love you, because I don't hate you. I hate part of you. I hate the part of you that does averus, etc. But v'ahavta re'acha kamocha still applies to the part of you that is the nishmas elokim ma'al. Now, again, the Alter Rebbe Tanya has a different approach to the status of non-Jews than others in terms of whether the neshama is the same or different. That's already for heebie-jeebie Kabbalah stuff. I used to say this, I'm too young to understand this stuff. At this point, I guess I'm not too young, I just don't understand it. But the point is that what we're trying to develop is that the mitzvah of ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which is the basis of mitzvahs of chesed according to the Rambam, meaning it's outcome-oriented for the Rambam. But that mitzvah, b'ahavta re'acha kamocha, even though, according to the strict halacha, it would seem it does not apply to certain categories of people, but nonetheless, right, there are enough sources that say that at the same time that there is a mitzvah to hate someone, there can also be a mitzvah to love that person at the same time, which is a really phenomenal concept. Okay, Chevra, questions, comments? Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's like the comment of Ruri at the beginning of Maseches Brachos. They want to get rid of the sins, not the sinner. That idea is found in the Testament that we Jews do not really abide by. We don't abide by. Rav Soloveitchik used to go up and said a slightly different understanding, that chata'im v'lo chota'im does not mean sins as opposed to sinners, but a chata is a binyan in Hebrew, like a ganov, right? When you have a patach and a fall by a kamatz, that means a professional. So chata'im means professional sinners, people whose entire identity is that they are sinners. So chata'im v'lo chota'im means two different types of sinners. Yitamu chata'im, right? The comment is that those who are like the professional habituated sinner, right? Those people should be destroyed. Chota'im means people who sin on occasion. The difference between the sin and the sinner might be correct, but it might not be correct. Yes, ma'am. If you what? If I get paid for a mitzvah, do I still fulfill a mitzvah? Yeah. So in Aruch Chaim Siman Mem Beis is a discussion of Osik B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. And
kosvei tefillin and mezuzos. We say osik b'mitzvah patur min hamitzvah. The Bi'ur Halacha they discuss is, does that apply if you get paid for it? There's a lengthy discussion in the poskim about that question, but all I would say is that that's not completely connected to the conversation we were having. Right? We were talking about coercion, right? As opposed to if I'm doing something for an ulterior motive or an additional ulterior motive. If I'm writing tefillin and mezuzos, right? So it happens to get paid, but it's, listen, let's be honest, I'm a Rebbe, right? Like, yes, I get paid, right? Would I rather get paid more? Yeah. Right? We used to joke in yeshiva, harachem on the yifarnas sein u'b'chavad, right? You don't get such a great parnas if you teach in yeshiva. At least you get some covered, right? But, So, again, I don't think you can expect of anyone or ask of anyone that they should be so completely altruistic. That's not shaya, right? Obviously, it's a mitzvah. But if I have an opportunity to do a profession that is helping others, and by the way, almost every profession could be a helping profession. You have to, but... Hey, if you have an opportunity to take on the profession that helps others, so then it's a much more meaningful life. Yes, ma'am.
I have this idea. I call them the noble professions. In my mind, there's certain professions that are inherently noble. Being a doctor, I know there's some people who go into doctors because they want to make money, but theoretically, like in the right sense of it, I think being like a healthcare professional, I think advocating for people, like voters, theoretically, right? And I think those are very
great. So absolutely, although there are some lawyers who are defending the worst criminals on the planet.
No, I'm saying,
and is that chesed? Yeah.
No, I don't think that's chesed. I think I'm saying if they're doing it with the right intention, I think intention matters.
Right, so sometimes people are accused and sometimes the accusations are unjust, or sometimes people are accused and the question is how much of a sentence they should receive. Let me